We're on the line with Dr. Nancy Nielsen with us this morning. Good morning to you, Doctor.
Good morning, Jay.
We've got to start, I guess, at the top when it comes to President Trump, of course, testing positive for the coronavirus, going in for treatment. A lot of different perspectives. We've heard from a lot of experts on this, but you have an interesting perspective. You, as a matter of fact, wrote a piece about the quote-unquote VIP syndrome and how this comes into play here with President Trump.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we've seen this medical drama play out daily, and it's alarming, but it really isn't a surprise, because any physician who's ever rendered medical advice or hospital care to a prominent person can be critical, but certainly probably silently empathizes with the medical team, because it's a real challenge to take care of VIP patients, whether they're in the hospital or not. And VIP syndrome was coined years ago, and there are a lot of articles in the medical literature about it. And what it refers to is the tendency of clinicians to treat famous or influential patients differently because they feel pressured to go along with whatever the VIP wants.
I most certainly can understand how you don't necessarily want to criticize the president's physicians, but at the same time, to hear the president say that he is going to be at this debate in just over a week after coming out of the hospital this weekend, from what you can see, would you recommend that?
Absolutely not. There's no question that that should not be recommended. And we're also watching some kind of bizarre behavior, which could reflect steroids. But also, you know, if you look at the studies on people who've even had mild to moderate cases of COVID, two-thirds of them will tell you that 60 days later, they're really not feeling well. This is not a time for the president to bring out his best appearance in a debate, and it certainly isn't advisable.
The Buffalo Bills are finding themselves in the midst of something here in the NFL. The Tennessee Titans now, they had an outbreak in the organization, and then earlier on Wednesday, two more positive tests come out. There's a question on whether or not this game will be played on Sunday. Let's maybe try to reflect on what's going on with the Titans. As best you can understand, because I know you've done some studying on this, is this a situation when it comes to testing? Is that what's at stake here, or is there something else that's really at the core of all this?
No, this isn't a problem with the testing. It's very different than what we saw as the screening tests at White House events. The NFL, as we talked about last week, is actually using PCR testing, which is the most accurate. So the testing isn't the problem. The spread of the virus is the problem. So my understanding is that the Titans Stadium wasn't reopened. It may have reopened on Tuesday, and then they got these positive tests. But I think the issue is whether or not it's safe for the Bills to travel because to Tennessee, because none of the people on the Bills team or on their staff, according to Coach McDermott, have tested positive. So this is a call that I suspect the NFL is trying to figure out what to do. And as Coach McDermott said Wednesday in his press conference, it's an evolving situation. But he also commented that the health and safety of his organization is first on their mind, and that's exactly the right priority.
And when it comes to a contact sport like football and at the high level like the NFL, again, just from your perspective and not necessarily getting into this specific case, but just the idea that, you know, football is back, but yet we're seeing these cases of positive tests of coronavirus. Is there a point where, as you as a physician, say, you know, enough is enough?
Well, what I say as a physician is enough is not enough to persuade leagues where millions of dollars are at stake. And we all understand those competing pressures. I'm actually surprised there haven't been more positive tests, frankly. It is really a concern, and I feel for high school seniors who are trying to get recruited to Division I schools on full scholarships. I feel sorry for colleges that have millions of dollars on the line, and also for the pro teams. It's just it's a bad situation, And it's hard to know how this is going to play out again. I'm surprised it hasn't been more widespread than it has so far.
We've heard some criticism of Governor Andrew Cuomo for press conferences where he and his staff aren't wearing masks. There's a close proximity for journalists. Does he deserve criticism in this case?
Actually, I saw that press conference earlier this week, and he does deserve some criticism, frankly. He knew, I believe, from the flap over the CDC several weeks ago, putting up that the virus on their website, that the virus is transmitted by aerosol, and then taking it down days later. But the science is there. It can be transmitted by aerosol, which means it goes further than six feet. So it really is really important that people wear masks when they're close to one another. And the 6 feet of separation is not going to be adequate. The CDC, the same day that the governor said, well, we're fine because we're 6 feet apart, the same day the CDC put on its website their final version of yes, the virus is spread by aerosol. It's not the main way. And that comment was what got them into difficulties and why they took it down the first time. But it certainly can happen. And they comment that it can a person can become infected by aerosol even after the person who left the aerosol behind, the infected person who left it behind, has left the room. So yes, I think the governor ought to be changing what they do in their press conferences.
And like I said, there's so much to get into, but not the least of which is a little bit of a battle going on right now between the FDA and the White House when it comes to vaccine trials. Take me through this, because this is, you know, really kind of the area where your expertise plays out.
Well, this is a chess match that is playing out in public. The FDA, in order to assure the public of the safety of these new vaccines, which are being rushed through clinical trials in thousands and thousands of people, said that follow-up of the patient volunteers in those trials needs to go for 2 months. Now, that happened a month or so ago. That does not fit with the White House narrative of wanting a vaccine ready before November 3rd, obviously, and the president has pushed back repeatedly. What the FDA did is they then posted on their website these new recommendations, even though they had to be approved by the White House. They posted it so that external advisors who have to approve vaccines for emergency use would know about it. So then the White House seemed to cave and say, okay, we will approve it. And then Wednesday morning, the president tweeted that this was a political ploy. It's really actually so sad to see the scientists caught up in this chess game.
But in your mind, again, a two-month follow-up is the best course.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. Dr. Fauci was interviewed yesterday on TV and said exactly the same thing. Before we stop, I want to just comment on one thing, because a lot of people have asked, did the president at Walter Reed get an unusual set of medications? The answer is there was one unusual one, and that was the cocktail of monoclonal antibodies. That was unusual, and it required emergency use under the compassionate use provision. That has promise to block the virus from infecting cells. So if you're going to use it, it should be used early. So it probably was used correctly. But then he also got remdesivir, which we've talked about before, which keeps the virus from replicating and shortens the duration of symptoms. But then he also got dexamethasone, which we have good evidence, if it's used in people who require oxygen, it really decreases mortality. So the fact that he got all three was certainly throwing everything at him, that's for sure, but I can understand why they did.
Dr. Nancy Nielsen, thank you as always for your time.
You bet. Thank you, Jay.